Well, thank you, Greg, and praise team. Good to have you back with us this week. I was told before I got here that I have a great music team out here at Ross, and I am inclined to believe those reports that I heard. As I mentioned, today we're continuing on with Faith, Hope, and Love. Today we're talking about hope. Last week, Don Vanamant made comment, and I think very appropriately so, that faith, hope, and love form, you know, the basis of our connection to God. Faith, hope, and love truly are always connected, find their end in a connection to God. And when you unravel them and look at them piece at a time, you kind of lose maybe a little bit of the overall. But notwithstanding that, we're going to take a look at hope today, what I've learned about biblical hope. This started a couple years ago in a Sunday school class I was in. We were looking at some of the promises that believers can claim because of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. One of the passages we were looking at is found in Romans 5. And in part, that passage goes like this. But we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us. And I got to tell you, that passage just kind of jumped out at me, because to be honest, I want my faith to be sincere. And it has to be based, if it's sincere, that means based on truth and fact. My training is as an engineer. Okay, I like facts. I don't want my faith to be based on touchy-feely philosophy. I want it based on facts. I'm not a big touchy-feely guy. Okay, I like facts. And to be honest with you, factually, I could think of times when I'd hoped for something to happen, and it hadn't happened. And I was disappointed. And so I'm thinking, okay, do I even understand what hope is about? What do I do with this hope thing? There's something more to it. I also know that when my life and the Bible, a promise seemed to contradict, the problem is with my understanding, not with what the Word says. So there was this little bit of conflict going on, so I didn't know what to do with that, so I kind of put it mentally in the parking lot of my mind for a little while. And a couple of weeks later, I got another little nudge from God. We were at a wedding down in Knoxville. And since it's a wedding, you have to read 1 Corinthians 13, right? The love chapter. Love is patient and kind. It's thrifty, brave, loyal, with liberty and justice for all, right? Something like that. I was paraphrasing there. But you know how that chapter ends. And now these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And it got me thinking again. I really got to look into this hope thing. It's one of the big three, but yet hope seems to run in third place to faith and love, right? And it's not a close third. I mean, notwithstanding the last 2 weeks, we've all heard sermons on faith, growing our faith, growing in love, but not so many on hope, right? Hope is kind of like the Cinderella of the three. It's always around, but it never really gets asked to the ball, right? Between faith, hope, and love. All right, so that got me going. All right, I have got to look in it. That was the trigger. I got to look into this hope thing. And I can tend to be a little bit CDO on issues, you know, like this when I get an idea in my mind. For those of you who don't know, CDO is a lot like OCD, except for the letters are in alphabetical order like they're supposed to be. Okay? Okay. So I had to look into this. The word hope is used in many different ways in our language. The children's sermon was great. Hit on all the... I really don't need to say a whole lot today. This children's sermon hit most of it. So thank you for that. That was beautiful. Hope is used many different ways in our language. You can use it as a noun. You can use it as a verb. Has many different kind of facets and angles or feels to it. I hope the Freon in my AC and my Honda doesn't run out again. Okay? There's the old expression that hope springs eternal, right? Meaning that people keep on hoping no matter what the realistic odds of a positive outcome are. People sometimes name their baby girl Hope, looking forward to a better life for them. Any Days of Our Lives fans here? Bo and Hope? Anybody? Yeah? Not me. I didn't stay home at lunch and watch that or anything like that. And politicians on both sides of the aisle play on our emotions, and they tell us that if we just put our hope in them, everything will turn out fine. Right? Yeah, exactly. Now, the dictionary defines hope this way. It's an expectation and desire for certain events to occur. An expectation and a desire for certain events to occur. I mentioned that we use it as either a noun or a verb. We can either hope for something to happen, or we can have hope in something when we use it as a noun. When we use hope as a verb, it usually indicates that there's some degree of doubt. Okay? This is most commonly seen in the secular use of the word hope, little h hope, let me call it that. One hopes for a positive outcome, but acknowledges there's the possibility that it might not work out that way. You've heard the expression, we hope for the best, yet we plan for the worst. Exactly. It might not turn out. Now, I believe that because we use this word hope so casually in our language, that people of faith have kind of lost sight of the great of a great deal of the distinctive and wonderful nature of the Christian concept of hope, capital H hope, let's call it that. And when the Bible speaks of a Christian's hope, it's almost exclusively a noun, instead of just an expectation and a desire for events to occur. Biblical hope can be defined as a future spiritual assurance. A future assurance. Hope, capital H hope, is a sure thing. There is no doubt about it. You can count on it. You can take it to the bank, but you can't take it to the bank for a little while yet. It's in the future. So that's the first thing I learned about hope, is hope is unseen. Hope, by definition, is unseen at this time because hope is always realized in the future. If there's a 50-cent theological word for you, it's made manifest in the future. You see it. You realize it. You experience it in the future. Okay? In Romans 8, 24 and 25, Paul speaks to this aspect of hope. Paul says, hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? I can almost hear Paul going, well, duh. Why do you hope for what you've seen? It's right there. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Another great word. Hope is unseen now, but it will be seen in the future. I have an illustration here, I think a great illustration today, of hope. Something in the future. Anybody know what these are? A fan? Anybody here want to confess to being a fan of these? Anyone? Oh, there you go, here you go. Have a little hope, brother. Any other fans of hope? All right, here we go, here you go. You got some hope, there's some more. Here, have some hope, sister. There, I saw some hands here. There you go. There's hope. Well, I saw two. Oh, back there we got hope. All right. Now, let me ask you a question. All right, we got one more over there. There you go. Incoming. All right. Now, oh, over here too. There you go. There you go. Now, tell me. Hang on a second. I'm almost out. Now, if the trustees get uptight about having food in the sanctuary, tell them it's just a 3D sermon illustration. This is not really food. Okay. All right, we're good. Tell me, what is inside a Twinkie? Cream filling. How do you know? How do you know? Do you see it? No. On the box? On the bottom? Oh, well, on the box. Work with me. Hang on to that thought. All right. Yeah. On the box, you see a picture. So you kind of have a promise, an anticipation, right? How else do you know? Because you made 100 of them. That's right. Is it? That's just in August or just in July? Or? Oh, okay. Last week. Okay. Okay. You've got experience with it. Have a promise. You have experience. On the bottom, there's a whole other sermon right there. It's filled, like the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit filling us. And there's three holes. Look at that. The Holy Trinity there of cream filling. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit right there. All right. Okay. So we trust, we have faith that there is cream filling in here, right? When do we know it for a fact? When you bite into it. You're not biting into it right now, are you? You hope. Well, present company accepted. In the future, you will realize that this is in here right now. You have hope. You have a future assurance that you will get to this cream filling in the future. You don't see it right now. Well, you may get a little foretaste of glory divine there on the back, like that song goes. Okay, this is my Twinkie, this is my treat. Wonderful cream filling, I can't wait to eat. Okay, oh, there you go, there's another one. All right, there you go. All right, okay, we need one more on this side. I've done a lot over here, I got one more there. All right, we're out now. We have faith and trust in the Hostess Company that they will put that cream filling in there, right? And they have been bankrupt and reorganized at least 3, if not 4 times. We have experience with it. We have a promise from God of our future hope that we will experience when we get to it in the future. And just between you and me, I think God's a lot more reliable than a human company here. So there's a little bit of an illustration for how we realize it in the future. It's here right now. It's a promise. You can take it to the bank, but you don't get to realize it until the future. Okay, so that's one aspect of hope. It's unseen at this time, like the cream filling, but when you bite into it in the future, you realize it's there all along. It is a delicious illustration of hope. Then these Twinkies will probably last as long as our biblical hope also due to the preservatives. Yeah. But we have to wait to get to it. We have to wait to get to it. Well, most of us do. Some of us may already be into it. But we have to wait to get to it. Speaking of waiting, check out Galatians 5, 5 and 6. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness, the future assurance of righteousness, in other words, by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. We wait for it now since we realize it in the future. And if you look at that passage, if you reverse click there, you'll notice there is faith, hope, and love again in that. Oh, we don't have that one. Okay, never mind. Not bad. Faith, hope, and love again in that passage. We wait for it expectantly. Haven't seen it yet, but we can be sure it is there. Second thing I learned about hope is this. Hope, capital H, specifically for believers. Now, don't get wrapped around the axle here and throw rocks at me. I'm not saying that in any sort of elitist kind of way. Hurrah for me, to heck with you, you know. But no, just simply by definition of biblical hope. A good description I found explains it this way. Hope conveys assurance concerning the future based on God's character, his promises, and his faithfulness, because hope is based on God's character and his promises to his people, those who are in a relationship with him. Those who don't have a relationship with God, can't claim those promises, can't have hope in those promises. Not because God has excluded them, but because they have excluded themselves. In the book of Ephesians, Paul writes to the church about their former life, where they were spiritually before becoming Christ followers. And Paul writes this, Ephesians 2:12, "Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world." Let that one sink in for a minute. Since hope is always connected to God, and if a person is not connected to God, then neither are they connected to capital H, biblical hope. They can hope that something good will happen, but they cannot claim biblical hope, future assurance. But that's the condition those folks were in. On the positive side, Paul encourages folks. On the positive side, Romans 15:13, I love this verse. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Think about that verse for a minute. That's a good one. Overflowing with hope. How would your life situation be different if you were overflowing with hope, overflowing with future assurance of God's love and good plans for you? If you had so much hope in your life that it filled you up and spilled over and splashed onto everyone and everything around you. Greg gave a great example of that, talking to the people at the rest area. You could be, how would your life would be a blessing to others, a collateral blessing, so to speak, if you were filled up and overflowed with that hope. On a practical note, okay, engineering training here, got to be practical, all right? You can only overflow with what's being poured into you, right? It's unrealistic to think that we're going to overflow with hope and good stuff that the Spirit is trying to pour into us when we're working against that and we are busy pouring anxiety and fear and distrust and other things into our lives. That's like trying to bail water out of your boat while you still got the drain plug out of the bottom, right? It's unrealistic to think you're going to make headway. So we got to be wise. And we got to be practical with what we're feeding into our minds also, because we don't want to overflow with the wrong thing. Okay, so hope is unseen. Hope is specifically for believers. And next, our hope is sure. It is sure and dependable, and a believer can literally stake their life on it. Now, the historical image most often used for hope, you see it in stained glass windows. What is it? Audience participation here. Hope, what's the image for hope? Any Navy guys here? Anchor. It's an anchor. It's a boat anchor is the historical image, Christian image, for hope. Here's the passage from Hebrews that explains that image. "That we may have a strong encouragement, we who have fled for refuge and laying hold of the hope set before us." There it is, a noun. "This hope that we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast." See, the imagery there is that biblical hope holds us steady and firm, like an anchor holds a boat. When life around us swirls with storms and difficulties and uncertainties and anxieties, whether they're physical issues, spiritual, financial, political, emotional, relational, we are held secure and know for certain that the bad things in life, and there's plenty of them out there, will ultimately not conquer us. Our hope is sure. good illustration of this. A couple years ago, Saturday, June 18th, 2011, around 2 o'clock in the morning, two New York State Park police officers were dispatched to rescue a boat in distress on the Niagara River. You can see where this is going. On the Niagara River, right near Goat Island. Anybody ever been to Niagara Falls? You know where Goat Island is? Right at the edge of the falls. Remember a couple years ago when the guy did that tightrope walk across the falls? He started from Goat Island, okay? Goat Island is here. If you're standing looking at the falls, over here is the Canadian Horseshoe side. Over here is Bridal Veil and the American Falls. Goat Island is right at the edge of the falls. All right. That morning, it was very dark. Typically is at 2 a.m. But it was also foggy. And on their way back from rescuing the other boat, the police officers got disoriented in the fog. And now they were the ones that needed to be rescued. Let me read the newspaper article here from the Buffalo newspaper. It says, two police officers were rescued Saturday after becoming stranded in foggy weather about 300 yards from the edge of Niagara Falls. The New York State Parks police officers had been sent to assist another vessel on the Niagara River when they became, quote, unsure in the fog and darkness exactly where their location was in relation to the crest of the Horseshoe Falls. Yeah, that's a picture of them right there. And they threw an anchor overboard, according to a statement from Canada's Parks Police Service. WKBW reported that the duo had been dispatched to help four teens whose private boat lost power near Goat Island around 2 a.m. The ordeal ended when the fog cleared and the officers were hoisted to safety by a Canadian helicopter around 8 a.m. You do the math, okay? I love this quote. Quote, they could hear the falls. They could see the falls. They could smell the falls. Helicopter pilot Rudy Hafen told the Toronto Star, it was a desperate situation for them. According to the Star, the officers were stuck in the vessel for about 4.5 hours before they could be rescued. Quote, they were snow white like a bedsheet, unquote. The newspaper quoted Hafen as saying, they were very shook up and they couldn't stop thanking us. If the anchor would have let go, they would have had no chance. They would have gone over. Quote, such a little boat, such a big anchor, that saved their lives. Their anchor saved their lives. Not just because of the anchor itself, but because of what that anchor was connected to. A rock that could not be moved. 2 Samuel 22:2-3 says this, the Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. Amen. And that brings us to our last point today, that our hope is secure. Recall that earlier I said our hope, our future assurance of God's promises is based on the character of God himself, of the God who made those promises. Promises like Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Hebrews 13:5, another great promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. John 14:2-3. Jesus promises, he says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. Those are some great promises to claim. Just as the New York State Parks police officers had an anchor that saved them from death. We sang a couple of versions of the song today that talk about Christ being a strong rock and a solid place to take our stand. My hope is built on nothing less, nothing else than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I love the line that says, when darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within that veil. See, a Christian's hope is secure because it's based on the nature of God himself. God's character that we want to latch on, to anchor onto, to ground our anchor in, it's God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness to his children and to his nature. To his nature. Kids sing in Sunday school, vacation Bible school, God is what? Love. God is love. I'm not saying merely that God is loving, but God's character defines what love is. God's character defines what love is, and he is faithful to that character and to his children. And we put our hope, our capital H, hope, in him. Scripture backs this up. Psalm 146, 5 and 6. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And one more verse from Lamentations. Anybody ever done a Bible study on Lamentations? Probably one of the two most depressing books in the Bible at face value. Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, not high on the list of Bible studies because they really are challenging to understand and keep them in the right context. Lamentations, this is Jeremiah writing this. The whole city's been destroyed. There's nothing left. The only thing that's left in the city is the people that were too much trouble to pick up and drag off when the Babylonians came through. All right? So this is where Jeremiah is writing from. Total devastation. And these are his words. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. In the midst of nothing, he says, I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That'd make a good hymn, wouldn't it? Great is your faithfulness. See, brothers and sisters, in difficult times when we can't see his hand at work, when darkness veils his lovely face, we got to rest on his unchanging grace. We wonder what the Sam Hill is going on in this crazy world, in our nation. We desperately need this hope. And God's faithfulness is what believers are called to put their hope in. His faithfulness to us, his love through Jesus Christ. That's what we put our hope in. We don't put our hope in our retirement plan, not in our 401k, not in our stock, not in the stock market, not in the perfect job or the perfect church or the perfect pastor or the perfect music team. No person or thing in this world are we called to put our hope in. God's faithfulness is what believers are called to put their hope in. Faithfulness to us through Jesus Christ. And you see, when that truly happens in here, as well as in here, and it works itself out through here and here and here, works itself out in the world, then we can know for a fact that capital H hope indeed does not disappoint us, will not disappoint us, cannot disappoint us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your hope that you give us. Thank you for the hope, the future assurance you give us because of your great love for us, which we accept through faith, because of your grace shown to us in Jesus Christ. Lord, you are faithful to us, faithful to your character. Lord, we cannot break these all apart because they all work together as strands in a braided rope to connect us tightly to you. Father, the world pulls us one way, and you pull us to you. Father, help us to keep our hope in you. Keep our minds stayed on you. Keep our feet, our thoughts, our words, our actions, the desires of our heart fully committed to you, because our only hope is in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.